We've looked at Jude. Jude spent a lot of time and energy telling us about false teachers and the danger and their methods and their judgment, what God thought about false teachers. And for most of us, we probably looked at that and thought, well, that's true, that's good, but I'm not a false teacher, and so that really doesn't apply to me, doesn't make that much difference. And good information, but not all that important to me personally. Well, I disagree with you, because Jude tells us something about these false teachers that is extremely important to us when he identifies the false teachers as coming from within the church. And he's not talking about Muslims or Buddhists or anything outside the church. Jude says, you know what, the problem is we've got folks inside the church that are teaching things that are contrary to the Word of God. And he said that's a real issue. That's a real problem that does affect every one of us. And, you know, when I look around and I think about how that has affected, and how, in particular, as Baptists, we have seen that play out over the last 25, 30 years. We see how dangerous that is. I think back, and you know, I remember back 25, 30 years ago hearing of things being taught in our seminary, and we almost laughed them off. We thought, well, there's a knucklehead somewhere. You know, we'd hear stories of those in our seminaries or Baptist colleges teaching that when the children of Israel marched around the walls of Jericho, that the walls didn't fall down, but that the children of Israel ran up and beat them down with trumpets. That, you know, we heard that and thought, well, oh, that's just one lone professor. He's just kind of out of his mind. It'll all work out. You know, and then we would hear stories of those that said, you know, Jesus didn't really walk on the water, that he walked around the edge. And, you know, we'd say, well, there's another one, no big deal. Then we'd hear stories of those that said, and again, these are in Baptist colleges and seminaries, who would make statements and teach, well, you know, when the Israelites crossed the Red Sea, God didn't really divide the Red Sea. They went up on the north end where it was shallow and walked across on the rocks. And, well, that's not a big deal. We'd almost laugh at them. Well, we laughed at them long enough to the point where it kind of kept growing. And it kept spreading to the point where we literally had people in our Baptist colleges and seminaries, even in the pulpits in our Baptist churches, who were standing up and denying the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. We had those standing up in our Baptist colleges, seminaries, pulpits, who were saying that there were more ways than Jesus Christ to heaven. We had standing up in seminaries and Baptist colleges and Baptist pulpits saying that a man could work himself into heaven, into the good graces of God, by doing good works. And it just kind of exploded on us. And so it just continued to grow. And that's exactly what Jude is concerned about in these verses, as we've looked at them, that, you know, if left alone, sometimes we kind of do that sometimes. We do that sometimes with our health. We have something that seems minor, and we don't do it, take care of it, and the next thing you know, it's turned into something worse. We do that with our cars. We hear a little noise or something. We think, oh, that's no big deal. And before you know it, it's, you know, something really bad has gotten torn up. And that's kind of what Jude is talking about in these opening verses. And I don't know if you have opening verses in a chapter in a book this short. You have verses, but in the first section of this book, Jude is saying, you know what, false teaching is really a dangerous thing. And he says what makes it dangerous is that it's coming from within the church. And so, again, most of us have kind of looked at that and thought, well, you know, I agree that we don't want anybody teaching false doctrine, teaching things that are contrary to the Bible. But, you know, what can I do about it? What, you know, I'm not going to do it, so what can I do? Well, Jude gets to that point. He's been working his way, I think, to this point all along. And in these final few verses, Jude's going to get very practical. He's going to begin to talk about and close his book, his letter, postcard, by saying, okay, here is what you need to do. Here's what the Church of Jesus Christ, here's what individual believers need to be concerning themselves with the awareness that there is false teaching among us. Now, I don't think this morning that anybody in here, some are at different levels of awareness, but I don't think any of us in here would deny that there is false teaching inside of the church in the age we live in. Certainly we know that there are a lot of false religions out there. There are a lot of cults and isms and those kind of things that have sprung up. But within the church even, there's a lot of confusion and a lot of misunderstanding and a lot of bad teaching inside of the church. And so Judah's going to say, here's what you need to do. Here are four very simple things, and plain little teachings that not great big truths, but here in light of all this about false teaching, here are four things that you need to be aware of, that you need to put into practice, four action steps, I think is kind of the modern lingo, and action steps that you need to put into practice. And again, they're really, really simple. I was thinking, popped into my mind as I was preaching at the early service about Archie's grandmother, Miss Coble, when she had some sayings, and I remember doing her funeral around these sayings, and we couldn't come up with three of them. I think there were five altogether. One of them was be good. You know, that's not bad. That's pretty good advice. As you know, pretty simple. Be good, love everybody, and come when you can. You know, come on over and visit. You know, but I guess it was, you know, if you wasn't going to be good and love everybody, she didn't want you to come visit. You know, just stay away if you're mean and hateful. Maybe that's what she meant. But did you think of the rest of them? Be smart. Yeah, that was a good. Be smart. I remember that. Be smart. Think about that. Those are just, be smart, be good, love everybody, come when you can. Think about, how that would change, society if we just live by those things. I hear a lot of people talking about, how they remember the day when folks would just drop by, you sit on the porch and that kind of thing. She lived in that day and age. Be good, be smart, love everybody, and come on over, come visit, and so that's pretty good advice, pretty simple. Well, Jude kind of does almost the same thing. It's really pretty straightforward, simple advice that Jude gives in these closing verses about how we can guard against the false teaching that is around us. But not just false teaching. I believe these are four just very practical steps that will make you the person God wants you to be, that will help believers mature, help us to grow in our faith, help us to develop into the healthy Christian that God wants us to be. And the first one is critical. The first one is the one that everything else is built on. When Jude says this, in dealing with deception, how are we going to deal with deception? He says, here's what I want you to do. Remember the lessons. There's a popular book that's been written that said, everything I need to know I learned in kindergarten. Well, that's kind of what Jude is saying here. He says, remember the lessons. Look what he says. He says, beloved, remember the words that were spoken before by the apostles of our Lord. What is Jude saying there? He says, remember the Word of God. He says, take the Word of God and implant it into your heart. He said, use the Word of God as your light. Use the Word of God as your guide. Know the Word of God. Apply it into your life. He said, you think about it. What's the best way to avoid false teaching? Know correct teaching. I told you these were simple. Jude says, you want to know what's wrong, you got to know what's right first. When someone stands up to preach or to teach, or you hear them on television and they start talking, if you know the Word of God, your ears go ding, 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 ding. Wait a minute, that's not right. What happens is so many of us today inside of the church, and I don't, everything I read, everything I see says that based on studies and research, we are the most biblically illiterate church, the Christians in history. We know a little less about the Word of God, and we have more exposure, more access to the Word of God than we ever had. And Jude says, you know what? You got to be careful. Remember the Word of God. Remember what the apostles told you. Why? He said, because they're going to be mockers in the last time. Now, I don't know about you. I've been mocked. I have mocked. I am probably better at mocking than I am at being mocked. I tell people my spiritual gift is sarcasm. but mocking. You know, what he's saying, he says, every people come in and you know, I think one of the verses that that for me, when I think of mocking, we typically joke and pick with each other and that kind of thing. But I think Acts really sums up what Jude is saying in a way that for you and I says it better. When Acts says to us that in the last days, you remember what he said? He said there will be grievous wolves from inside. He said there'll be grievous wolves in and among you. And then he says this, he says, also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. Well, that's exactly what Jude says here, just says a little bit different. He says there are going to be mockers in the last time who walk after their own ungodly lust. Jude says, you know what, there are going to be people who come up and they teach false things for one purpose. For their own ungodly lust. Access to draw men away from themselves. It gives them a kick. It gives them a thrill to teach something and have others follow them. You know, you look around and some extreme examples are some of the cults that have sprung up in our nation in the last few years. David Koresh, some of these other guys that spring up and just want people to follow them for their own ego, for their own pride. And Jude says to us, we need to remember the warnings of the Word of God. We need to understand what the Bible says and know that when someone stands up and teach, that's why, you know, when I stand up to preach, I say, open your Bibles. You know what? You better make sure that what the preacher's saying is there. When someone stands up to teach, open your Bible. When you turn on the television, don't just, you know, and I tell you, thank God for the proliferation of the Word of God on television. You know, a lot of people had the opportunity, a lot of shut-ins had the opportunity to hear preaching and to hear the Word of God that didn't in years past. But I want to tell you something. Just because you got the money to get a TV show doesn't mean you have the sense to have a TV show. You know, just because you have access to a television camera does not mean you know what you're talking about. You know, and there are a whole lot of people who buy into because they're on. I'll tell you that a good portion of my what am I going to call this? My corrective ministry. Trying to help people understand what the Bible says comes because they've sat down and watched some knucklehead who got a TV show. I want to remind you, Oprah had a TV show. You know, Maury and some of these other folks has got TV shows. Because you're on the television does not mean you're all that bright. It certainly does not mean you're right. It may mean you're bright, but it doesn't mean you're right. Listen, you need to know what the Word of God says for yourself. And we have moved into almost this culture of accepting whatever is said. And Jude is warning us, he's saying to us there, that we need to have, the best way we can defend ourselves against false teaching, the best way that we can begin to know God, the best way that we can be the believer that God wants us to be, is to begin to know the Word of God. It amazes me the people who say, I want to know the will of God. It amazes me the people who come to me and say, help me, I'm trying to find the will of God. I'm trying to figure out what God wants with my life. And I'll say something to them in the process about, well, have you been reading His Word? Well, not as much as I should. Well, listen, if you haven't read what He's already said, why would He bother saying anything else? Why would He bother? If you're not listening to what He's already told you, why would He bother giving you anything new? I want to tell you something this morning. One of the greatest things we can do to further our relationship with God, to deepen our roots and to protect ourselves against false teaching is to get into the Word of God and know it. Listen, and I'm not telling you you've got to be able to parse every Greek verb. I'm not telling you you've got to know every Hebrew word and what that dot means. You know, I'm not telling you need to be able to explain a yellow horse and a wheel within a wheel. But listen, you ought to know the basics. You know, you ought to be looking to understand more than you did yesterday. You ought to know more about the Word of God than you do your baseball team statistics. You ought to know more about the Word of God than you do how far back your quarterback rating is. You ought to know more about the Word of God than you do your son's baseball team. Listen, support your kids. Support your team. I'm all for sports. I like them. We need to get our priorities right. Jude says if we're going to deal with deception, first thing, very simple, goes back to as simple as be good, love everybody, be smart, and that's to know the Word of God. Let's just be brutally honest with you. I'm just on a roll this morning. Some of you's Bible is so dirty you could plant potatoes on top of it. Some of them, they're so faded out because they lay in the back window of your car from Sunday to Sunday that if you open them up, the backs would crack. I love you too. I make the same money whether you like me or not, I think. Carol done got my checks wrote. I'm good. Listen, I want to tell you something. A whole lot of the ills and the ails, a whole lot of the problems of our families, a whole lot of the issues in our churches, and 99% of the issues in our country could be solved if we would get back to the principles and the precepts of the Word of God and quit trying to do what is politically correct, quit trying to do what is popular, what some psychiatrist or counselor has told us is all right.
Amen.
Back to the Word. Jude says, remember those words. How are you going to remember them if you don't know them to start with? Get into the Word of God. Jude says, the first thing we can do to prevent false teaching is no right teaching. No true teaching. Remember the Word of God. Second thing that he says, and again, not just dealing with the deception of false teachers, but just making us the person that that God wants us to be, is not to remember the lessons that he's given us, but to remember the love. Look what he says. He says, beloved, building up yourself on the most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keeping yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I realize you look at that verse and think, man, there's a lot in that verse. That whole building up by faith and looking for the mercy and all that. And some translations, I don't know which ones you might carry, but some translations actually make this look like it's four individual commands. Build up yourself. Keep yourself. And it makes it look like it's four. But it's actually one command and what's known as three participles. It's one command and three ways to get it accomplished. The one command that's in that verse, the one thing that is a direct commandment, you have to go back, look at the language and understand, is keep yourselves in the love of God. That's the command of that passage. Know the love of God. Live in the love of God. Demonstrate the love of God. Well, how do you do that? By building up yourselves on faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, and looking forward to the return of Christ. The command is to love God. He says, this is how you do it. Build up your faith. He says, praying in the Holy Ghost, and looking forward to the return of Jesus Christ. You know, when we look at that passage, very simply, Jude is saying, like Ms. Cope, love everybody. Jude is saying, love. He says in that verse, that again, the one commandment out of that whole thing is praying, and it's not praying in the Holy Ghost. It's not building up your faith, but love God. Keeping yourselves in the love of God. You know what? What he's simply saying is you act like you love God. You live like you love God. You walk like you love God. And he says, how do you do that? You build up your faith. How do you build up your faith? Anybody want to take a shot at that one? I just spent the first 10 minutes of my sermon on it. How do you build up your faith? In the Word of God. Jude says, build up your faith by reading the Word of God. You know what happens when you begin to read the Word of God? You know how reading the Word of God begins to build up your faith? Because here's what happens. I don't know about you. Maybe you don't have this problem. Here's the problem I have when I begin to spend time and begin to read the Word of God. Here's what happens. I don't read far until God says, hey, right there's something you need to work on. I'm like, well, thanks. You know, and about the time I work on that and think I got that one fixed up, I go and read a little bit more and he says, there's something else. Well, wow. Boy, I really stink, don't I? Well, not too bad. Wait till you read a few more verses. You know? And God begins to deal with you on that. I was reading a book last night and Greg Grishel wrote, and he said, you know, he had a habit, said, you know, when he first started preaching, he said, he would sometimes use humor that some in his church would say was a little close to the line, if not over the line. And he said, you know, people kept coming to him, some of his elders, some of his deacons, and they would come, and they would tell him that. Said even his wife would tell him that. And said, you know, I just thought all of them were, you know, were wrong. Said finally they had a meeting, and some of the people in the meeting told him, said, you know, I we think you're using some humor that's just a little bit over the line. And he said, y'all just don't understand, I'm trying to reach young people, I'm trying to reach people that are not in church. He said, one of the older deacons said to him, I tell you what, said, you seem to disagree with us, but I tell you what, you ask God to show you whether you are or not. And he said, okay. You be careful what you ask for. He said, so I asked God. He said, Lord, show me if my humor, if the jokes I'm telling are a little bit too risque or whatever for the pulpit. And he said, I stood up once, just a Sunday after that, to preach. He said, I began to preach, and just as I was about to tell a joke that I thought was really good and thought would illustrate my point, said, I looked down and I saw my 7-year-old daughter, and God gripped my heart and said, I wouldn't want her to tell that joke. You read the Word of God, you get in the Word of God and begin to say, God, what's here for me? Like I said last week about how we tend to sit in church with shovels and say, there's some for him and her. We get into the Word of God and begin to study the Word of God. And God says, you know what? Here's something you need to stop doing. Here's something you need to start doing. And it builds up your faith. You begin to pray, He says. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Pray in the Holy Spirit. You know what that really says? Let me put that in language. He says, pray in harmony with the Holy Spirit. Now, y'all know what harmony is, right? You've heard people sing in harmony. Maybe the best way to express harmony is to show you bad harmony. Caleb, come up here. Me and Caleb's going to sing to you. We're going to show you what harmony is not. Hey. Now what do you mean by that? You saying my son can't sing? Or you saying I can't sing? Just keep digging yourself out of that hole, Pansy. We know what harmony is. We know what disharmony is. We know what Jude says. He says, pray in harmony with the Spirit. You know what that simply means? It means to pray like the Holy Spirit would pray if the Holy Spirit was in your shoes. We tend to pray what we want. We tend to pray selfish. Pray what the Holy Spirit... Let me ask you a question. If you're a child of God, where does the Holy Spirit live? Where does the Holy Spirit reside? So you're telling me the Holy Spirit is in your shoes. Pray what the Holy Spirit would pray. You know, we think... Here's what we think praying in the will of God means. Lord, give me this. I want that. Do this. Do that. Be this. Do there. Go there. Bless them. Do that. If be thy will, amen. We think that covers. You know what Jude is saying? And I believe what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches we should build up our faith. We should be working on getting close enough to God that we don't pray just random out of the blue prayers and say, if it's thy will. That we get close enough to God that we begin to understand His will. And we line up with His will. He says we pray in harmony. And we look forward. Look at the end of that verse. And we look for the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. You know what he's talking about? Eternal life. He's talking about the return of Jesus Christ. He says, here, listen to what he said. He said, you want to deal with deception? You get so close, so in love with God that you know who He is enough that nobody can fool you. You know, after 29 years. I know when I was married. I just can't do the math. I had to stop and think about it a minute. After 29 years, I can spot her handwriting. When she calls, she doesn't say, hello, this is Rhonda Barrett calling for Jimmy Barrett. She calls and says, hey, dummy, what are you doing? You know, and I know exactly who it is. Actually, that's not true. First thing she says when she calls is, where are you? Where are you at? You know, and my answer is always on the other end of the phone. What do you want? You know. Where are you at? I know her voice. Yeah. You know, we've after 29 years, we know each other. I know what she likes, I know what she doesn't like. Sometimes I care, sometimes I don't. You know, listen, I'm just being, I know how to push her buttons, I know what makes her mad. I've told y'all that before. And, you know, y'all looking at me like I'm something different. You're the same way. You know, you're the exact same way with your spouse. Every now and then you just walk by, you're like that Staples easy button. You know, every now and then you just walk by and just poke their button just to see if they're awake. You know, just to see if they're paying attention. You know, and you know that's what Jude is saying. Jude says, love God so much. Build up your faith. Pray. Look forward to His return so much that you can't be deceived. Love Him. Know His Word. Remember His lessons. Remember His love. Third thing that He goes on, He just says, and this may seem a little odd to you, that Jude says this is the way to avoid false teaching. Remember the labor. Jude says what in his verse? He says, and of some have compassion. Make a difference. And others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. You know what Jude is saying? This may seem really odd to some of you. Jude is saying one of the ways to avoid false teaching and false doctrine, one of the ways to stay close to God is get busy working for God. You know, I remember hearing a man in my first church one time. I was walking by and I heard part of this. And he said, you know what's wrong with young people today? And I wasn't in the conversation, but I heard enough of it that I had to stop and hear the rest of this one. He said, you know what's wrong with you? He said, rocks. Okay. I thought he meant rocks in their head. I didn't know. Yeah. And he said, rocks. Somebody said, what do you mean? He said, if they were out in the backyard moving rocks from this end of the yard to that end of the yard, they wouldn't have the time or the energy to get into trouble they're in. You tried. I don't know. Yeah. But you know, that's pretty much what Jude is saying right here. He said, you know what? If we were busy sharing the gospel, we wouldn't have time to mess up the gospel. If we were busy reaching people for Jesus, we wouldn't have time to be perverting and twisting the Word of God. If our heart's desire was on seeing people come to know Jesus Christ. And I thank God for all the emphasis that has went in to Bible study and Bible knowledge in the last few years. I mean, the amount of research and archaeology and writing about the Word of God has just blossomed. You know, there are just book after book after book about the Word of God, explaining the Word of God. And it's awesome to have that knowledge and to have that wisdom and have that access. But here's reality. It doesn't matter what you know about the Word of God if you're not practicing the Word of God. And Jesus told us to go into the highways and the hedges, to go out and to reach them for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Remember the labor. If we were spending more time working on bringing people to Jesus Christ and less time arguing over the Word of God. You know, we spend a lot of time, and again, thank God for seminaries. And you know, I can tell you, I've sat in classes before and just thought to myself, you know, I've had all this, I can stand. You know, we're talking about stuff and we're arguing over stuff that doesn't matter. Yeah. You know what? The yellow horse may just mean that he's yellow. I don't know. You know, the red one may mean that he fell in a mud puddle. I don't know. Does it really matter when the people around us are dying and going to hell? Look what he says. He says to pull them out of the fire. You know, and some translations, I love this. I like the way it words it better. Some translations say this, snatch them out of the fire. You know, what a contrast to the way most of us and most churches are going about reaching the lost for Jesus Christ. We've got this mindset, well, we built a church, we put up a steeple, you know, open the doors and see all the people. You know, that's kind of our mindset. You know, I'm just trying to live a good life in front of them. That's not what Jude says. Jude says, snatch them out of the fire. You know, let me ask you a question. You were standing there and you saw a child fall into a fire. Would you stand there and say, you know, you really should get out of there. You know, that's hot. I'm praying for you. God bless you. No, we'd snatch them out of the fire. You know, I can see this, and I couldn't have been more than 10, 12 years. I don't know. I wasn't very old. There was a family lived out the road from us, and to say that the mother was blessed with strong vocal capabilities would be the nice way to put this. And immediately, my family knows who I'm talking about. She was blessed with the ability to announce to the world that it was time for her children to come home. And I never will forget, I was down at the house below hers, and on the back of their house, they had a sliding glass door. And never saw her, I'll just leave it at that, come to, at the door. All we heard was this bellowing, ear-shattering sound as she called her son. And it was obvious that she was not calling him because it was supper time. I don't know what he had done, scared to go ask. All I know was he come up through the yard like a whoop puppy. And when he got to the bottom, if I'm not mistaken, there were two steps coming up into their into that sliding back door. All we saw was this arm. Never saw her. Saw this arm come down and grab him by the shoulder and poof, like he'd been beamed up by Star Trek. And again, my wife and my mother know exactly who I'm talking about and can see and have no problem believing that. You know, because this not only was she blessed with strong, she's just strong. You know, she just come out that door and just whoosh, just all we saw was an arm. Standing there, we laughed. Oh man, there's several of us that we laughed, you know, because ain't no telling what happened to him after that. You know, we did see him again, so she didn't kill him. But she snatched him right out the backyard. You know, I mean, just, whew, I mean, feet off the ground. I mean, I'm not dragging. Whew, snatched. It's the exact word that Jude uses when it comes to unbelievers. Snatch them out of the fire. You know what? If we'd get busy winning people to Jesus, if we'd get busy worrying about the lost, we wouldn't have time to be messing up the Word of God. Remember the love. Remember the labor. Remember the lessons. And very simply, Jude finishes by saying this. Remember the Lord Himself. Now unto Him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless, he says, the presence of His glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. You know what Jude is saying in conclusion of this whole little book? We need to be busy worshiping God. I never will forget, and I've shared this with you before, but it's one of those things that, you know, some things you see, some things you know, kind of like snatching them out of the backyard. There are certain things that just stick in your mind. Never will forget, I was assigned a book to read and report on in seminary, and one of the first things it said, a book by John Piper, some of you may know who it is, don't remember the name of the book, don't even remember what the rest of the book was about, but I do remember this. He said, man's primary purpose is to worship. Man's primary purpose is to worship. Now, I know I spent a lot of time talking about studying the Word of God. I know I spent a lot of time talking about loving each other, praying. I spent a lot of time this morning talking about witnessing and bringing people to Jesus Christ. But I want to tell you something. None of those things will happen until you learn to worship. If you're not worshiping, and I'm not talking about gathering at church at a set time and singing a few songs and going home. I'm talking about looking and giving God the glory, the majesty, the dominion that He deserves. Of falling on your face before Him and saying, God, I worship You. Looking around at the creation He's made, looking around at the beauty that He's bestowed, looking around at all that He's done and said, you know what, God, I give You the glory for all You've done. Worship's not gathering in a church building and singing a few songs. Worship's a lifestyle. Worship's a way of going about life and looking at everything that God's done. Getting up in the morning and saying, thank You, Lord, for another day. Laying down at night saying, thank You, God, for a good day. Going about life and saying, Lord, thank You for that beautiful flower. Thank You for my children. Thank You for my spouse. Thank You for Your blessings on me. That's worship. Any knucklehead can come into a church and sing a few songs and go home. Anybody can throw some money in an offering plate. Most everybody can throw some money in an offering plate. To say, you know what, Lord, I worship You. Not because of anything, but just because You're holy. Jude says, you know what? You want to be the person God wants you to be. You want to avoid false teaching. It may not seem like that. We may think, the way to avoid false teaching is, kill all the false teachers. That's not what Jude says. In fact, Jude says just the opposite. I didn't really touch on it. But Jude says back in that last passage, he said, you know what? He said, we ought to even have mercy and pray for those that are the false teachers. That they would see the light. That they would see their mistake. Jude says we need to be busy studying the Word of God, knowing the Word of God, praying, loving each other. I want to ask you a question. Close with that thought. I said a while ago about Miss Coble and her statements. Be good. Love everybody. Be smart. Think what would happen in our society if people start living by those six words. Be good, be smart, love everybody. Six words. Think what would change. What a marvelous world this would be. Be good. That would solve a lot of problems. Be smart, and love everybody. Well, you know what? Jude finishes a really difficult book with a lot, talked about Korah and a whole lot of people we don't know and never heard of and things we don't know about with basically the same idea. He said, you know what? You want to be the church God's called you to be? You want to be the people God's called you to be? He said, study the Word of God. Love everybody. Take the gospel wherever you go, and love God. What would change in our churches? What would change in our lives if we'd simply say, that's going to be my motto. That's going to be my marching order. I'm going to commit myself to a better knowledge of the Word of God. I realize, and I know I've said this before and got some flack for it, but I don't care. Yeah, I know some folks get really caught up in those read the Bible through the year and a card things. That's great. I'm not telling you don't do it, but you know what? I believe God would rather you read one or two chapters and get them right than to read the whole thing. If you read, I hope you read it all. There's some good stuff in there. There's some stories in there. Every now and then I have somebody come to me and say, I didn't know that was in there. There's some good. Read it through. That's great. But you know what? Take it and apply it to your life. Read the Word of God. Love everybody. What's the Bible tell us? The Bible says the world will know we love God by how we love others. Love God. Love everybody. Witness. And worship God. What would change in our churches? What would change in our lives? I want to ask you to bow your heads. You're here this morning. And you are I want to be very specific this morning. You're a member of this church. You're part of this church family. I want to challenge you to make part of your prayer life, to make part of your life, your motto, your desire before God, is, Lord, let me and my church be a church that practices these four things. That we know the Word of God. That we love God, love others. That we witness and win others to Jesus Christ. And that we worship above all. But that's not going to happen in our church till it happens in your life. I want to invite you this morning to come and fall on this altar and say, Lord, help me to live by those four simple things. Help me to incorporate those into my life. You're a Christian. You don't have to be a member of this church. You say, that's what I want in my life. I'm challenging our church members to do that, to pray that prayer for our church. Others, I encourage you, I challenge you to pray that prayer for yourself. For your home church. Maybe you've got a home church and you're just visiting today. Most of all, I encourage you today, if you're here and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I want to tell you what the Bible says. You hear about these false teachers, and you've said here over these few weeks as we've looked at the book of Jude, and you said, oh, those people are horrible. They're terrible. They shouldn't do that. I want to tell you something. If you don't know Jesus Christ, if you've never accepted Him into your heart as your personal Savior, you're in the same boat as they are. The Bible says you're lost and you're separated from God. And should you leave this world today, should you die today, should Jesus Christ come back today, you're going to spend eternity separated from Jesus Christ. Separated from all that is good and all that is holy. You're here today and you don't know Christ as your personal Savior. I want to invite you to come and ask Him into your heart.